Hi, this is Clarissa Jacobson from Lunch Ladies, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
I am Kevin.
I am Simon.
I'm Daniel.
And this is episode 223.
Correct.
Yes.
So what's been happening in your life, Kevin?
I don't know. I've been working a lot.
I noticed.
Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living.
So I have some good news, guys.
Oh, yeah? What's that? We won $1 million?
I wish. Yeah, I could do this full time. No, we actually have one video now going up on YouTube this weekend.
Oh, cool. Nice.
And we owe full credit to Eskertina Moskova, which I can't even say her name, but I do have her Twitter handle at Kat, K-A-T-H-M-O-S-K-V-I-N-A. And I did an interview with her with a superstar inside of me that's available at extrafeatures.ca. So she is helping us out.
She's a filmmaker?
She's a filmmaker, and she's helping us out with her YouTube stuff when she has time.
Nice. What's her film called?
Superstar Inside of Me. It's like a 14-minute short, and it's available on YouTube.
Nice. I'll have to check that out.
So, and the interview's there, too. So please, everybody, go check her out and tell her I sent you. That's all I'm asking. Because she's wonderful to help me. Because I'm a little lost on this thing. So that's about it. I'm watching a lot of films, always, and just trying to figure out what to do. Just for Laughs is coming up, so July will be a busy month.
True.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it. I sat through a lot of crap, and I was reading an article on Hollywood that the sequels are bombing this year, all of them.
Yeah, it's not been a good year for sequels, has it?
Well, I mean, I've seen Secret Life of Pets 2, I've seen Dark Phoenix, I've seen Aladdin, which I would consider a sequel.
I wouldn't consider Aladdin a sequel.
Okay, a reboot? I mean,
a remake.
We need some new things, people. New things world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Aladdin's still making money. I mean, but Dark Phoenix bombing.
So,
yeah, Aladdin made money. Endgame made money.
Endgame, well, we knew Endgame was going to make money.
But there haven't been a lot of... What other sequels have there been? Godzilla?
Godzilla, there's one.
Men in Black coming out.
Men in Black. Actually,
I watched a podcast that termed these, gave a great term for some of these movies. These movies that are sequel-licious, and they don't do that well, but they do okay. And they call them flopbusters, and I thought that was a great term.
That is true. I agree with that. I like that term.
Yeah. Flopbusters.
Flopbusters.
I've been like sequelitis.
I like that one too. That just kind of came out of nowhere. So I guess our first movie is a sequel that bombed.
Oh,
in a big way. And that's Dark Phoenix, not X-Men Dark Phoenix, although it is X-Men Dark Phoenix everywhere except North America.
Oh, really?
In North America, it's just Dark Phoenix with an X around the...
Is that why it bombed? People didn't know it was an X-Men movie?
I don't think people are that stupid, but maybe.
I don't think people cared about it, just with, like, all the delays and same with, like, New Mutants.
I think the messaging is, like, doesn't matter. You know, the X-Men are going to be rebooted as part of the Marvel Universe. So who cares? This is an old movie from an old studio. It's irrelevant, I guess, was the messaging.
Yeah, just wait for that. Yeah, so the cast, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Sophie Turner, Jennifer Lawrence, Nicholas Hoult, Ty Sheridan, Alexandra Shipp, Cody Smith-McPhee, Jessica Chastain, and Evan Peters.
I just want to start here. Who is this movie made for? I'm a comic fan. And it wasn't made for me.
I think it was made so that Simon Kinberg could tell the story that, like, I think The Last Stand was so lampooned and hated that he felt he had to somehow retell the story of Dark Phoenix and make a good movie, but he didn't make a good movie.
But they tell it worse.
Because Kinberg did write the script for X-Men The Last Stand, which was directed by Brett Ratner, and did feature the Dark Phoenix storyline. And when they rebooted the timeline in Days of Future Past, Kinberg and Bryan Singer were very excited about the prospect of being able to go back and revisit some of the mistakes of their first three films and do things the way that they wanted to. And so they somehow got convinced that they should do the Dark Phoenix storyline again.
But couldn't they create something original or something new?
Well,
something good.
I mean, it is very different from the other Dark Phoenix movie. I'd say the film is very different. It's now back to a cosmic force, even though, well, I mean, this is something maybe we'll get into when we review the film. But the Phoenix is a cosmic force, not a manifestation of Jean's psyche, like it was in The Last Stand.
Yeah.
So.
But what in The Last Stand, wasn't it, I haven't seen it for a while, but wasn't it more of like a major subplot than the full plot, though?
Yeah, it wasn't. There was a mutant cure, and Jean.
Right.
It's the X-Men. She got married.
Yeah.
And that caused the trigger, like the mental blocks around her powers that Xavier had put were eroded. And so the full psychic potential of her powers came out, and that manifested as the Dark Phoenix.
Right. Okay.
And, but in this case, in the last movie, we saw the full manifestation of her psychic powers, which also manifested as the Phoenix. And then she went on to become a full on X-Man. And now they go on a mission to space and, encounter this cosmic force. And next thing you know, she's a Phoenix again, but with slightly different powers, kind of a weird kind of flowy energy.
Spacey powers.
Yeah.
Question, because have you read the Dark Phoenix, like, story?
Years ago.
Okay. Now, my question is Buck, oh, God, Jessica Chastain's character, she a character? Because she was
No.
Yeah.
I didn't like her. I didn't like that character at all.
So, in the original Dark Phoenix saga, which was took place over, like, 30 issues, 35, 36 issues.
Oh,
At the end, Dark Phoenix manifests. The X-Men beat her, and her power seemed to have, the Phoenix seems to have disappeared. And then they're captured by a bunch of aliens who want revenge for the things that she did as Dark Phoenix.
Okay.
And put her on trial. And the leader of that is a Princess Lilandra of the Shi'ar. And apparently that was in the original plot. It was going to be Princess Lilandra and some of the royal or the Imperial Guard were going to be out there to get Jean to get this power back or put it under control, and then it turned into this Lux character.
Okay,
which was lame.
Yeah, she was. I mean, I just feel like it was like, I don't know. She was just kind of there just to be like a villain, other than the X-Men trying to take her down.
Yeah, I don't know why this character was needed.
Yeah, I mean, in the trailers, I thought, like, oh, she kind of looks like an older Jean Grey. Is she from the future? But the way they did it was just super generic.
She could have been a manifestation of her psyche. It would have been much more interesting if the Phoenix itself appeared to Jean as another person and communicated with her as a way to try to convince her to go against her own natural instincts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and a little bit of her, too, was like, oh, come to the dark side. And, I mean, just like, yeah, just make her, yeah, exactly what you're saying, just her alter ego, but outside of her.
I think that would be infinitely more interesting. I mean, as a whole, what did you guys think of the film?
Really boring. Not enough action for what I wanted.
Like, I've never really seen a superhero movie try so hard and just be so dull and just... But I, like, halfway through, or, like, three-quarters way through before the train finale, I was like, wait, there's probably only 30 more minutes of this? And, like, no action has really happened. Or, like, not any good action scenes have happened.
I thought it could have been a really good TV show.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought... So I went in expecting to hate this.
Oh, I did.
Like, really hate this.
I really
hated
it.
And I didn't hate it. I thought it was average. I thought it was mediocre. And I liked the stuff in space. I thought the whole sequence in space, I was digging it. This is, here are the X-Men. They're working as a team. The powers are in unison. They're all doing the thing. Professor X is on the ground directing them mentally. This is the X-Men. This is the first time we've actually seen the X-Men in action like this as a team. Normally it's been like random people throwing fights and doing stuff, but we've never seen this kind of strategic action. And I thought it was interesting, but then they come back to Earth and she becomes unhinged.
She does.
Yeah.
Almost right away. And we have that stupid fight sequence where, all right, so her father is alive, but she didn't know he was alive. She thought he was dead because Xavier put blocks around her mind to protect her. So, and then they changed things as they went. Okay, so in The Last Stand, in a slightly different past, which was in the 80s as opposed to the 70s, as it was in this one. So Jean Grey got older somehow in this movie by being younger.
Wait.
So Famke Janssen's, the scene in Last Stand with Xavier and Magneto was set in the 80s, the mid-80s, before Apocalypse took place in the new timeline. So, and she was a child. So for whatever the case, she was with Xavier earlier in the new timeline. And he didn't put blocks around her power. He put blocks around her memory of the trauma.
Yeah.
So again, they kind of changed how they changed how things worked mentally for her. So she was upset about her. She thought her parents died. It was really just her mother, and her father ran off and abandoned her. And so she finds out he's alive, and she goes to see him, and he's kind of a dick to her, and she kind of loses it when the X-Men show up.
Yeah.
And
she
they have this
control, but then I don't know. Sorry.
She wasn't that out of control on that. She was actually very patient. It's not until the X-Men show up that she kind of goes unhinged.
I don't know if she was very patient. Like, she went a little unhinged, but then she was coming back, but then the cops showed up, and that's when I thought she lost her shit.
And I thought it was interesting that so Evan Peters, who plays Quicksilver, who's really only in the movie up to this battle sequence, and then he's out.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to talk about. Why would you throw away a character like that and be like, oh, he's in a little bit of a coma / he's just sleeping half the movie, and then he shows up for the last scene?
He couldn't do the movie.
Oh, okay.
He had another commitment.
Eric Horst.
So that's not actually him in the movie.
No.
What?
It's a stunt double.
Wait.
And they mapped his face onto the stunt double.
Give him credit in that. Wait, what?
This came out this week. The stunt double went on Twitter like yesterday and said, yeah, you know, Evan couldn't do the film, so I was Quicksilver in that sequence. I did the action part of it, but they took, they filmed him later and they mapped his face onto my body.
The stunt double. Oh.
Yeah.
So that's some Social Network shit. Okay.
Yeah. So, because he just couldn't be there physically to do it, which is another reason why he was only in the movie for that one sequence.
Oh, okay.
And why they took him out. Here's a fan favorite character that people want to see. He's the comedy relief.
Yeah.
And he's interesting.
I agree.
Maybe he'll tell Magneto that he's his son for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, we're waiting for that to happen.
And that's like, oh.
Anyway, he gets knocked out almost right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, literally.
Jennifer Lawrence, who phones in her performance and obviously doesn't want to be there but is contractually obligated to do the film.
That was evident.
She comes in, and her whole thing is, you know, she's, like, I don't even know if she actually put the Mystique makeup on at all in that film.
I agree with you. It didn't look right.
She spends most of the time just as herself. Yeah, like the women save the men in this team.
Well, more like ex-woman. Yeah, Charles, why are you getting such a big ego, man?
Oh, God, that whole line. I'm like, is this a Me Too movement thing?
I wanted to puke. I was like, more like ex-women. Feminism.
Well, and then Laura Shuler Donner from the Marvel Cinematic Universe echoed the same sentiments in conversation about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
About how she doesn't like the term X-Men. It's not progressive enough. It should be X-People or...
persons.
Or the mutants or something like that.
People are arranged. This was created in the 1960s, right?
What's that?
This film, these characters were created in the 60s. X-Men is what they were called.
Yeah.
Okay? They're not going to change it to X-People.
Right.
Because girls still aren't buying the comics or seeing the movies, probably. Maybe they are, but not that many.
You know, the X-People, we wouldn't know what's X-Men, right?
No, X-Men is a brand. You purchase a brand. You own a brand.
Yeah.
So do you want to get rid of the brand? You could call it, that's why The Gifted didn't really, you know, resonate as well with X-Men fans, because it's called The Gifted instead of The Mutants After the X-Men.
Exactly.
Yeah, didn't even realize that was X-Men.
Yeah.
Related to them.
It is an X-Men related show. It's just as Legion is an X-Men related show.
Okay, I see. I knew that one was an X-Men property, or at least kind of.
Oh, I thought one I did know.
I've seen a bit of that. I really want to finish it. It's really good.
I've seen the first couple episodes. It's great. So, I don't know. This movie.
Oops, sorry, Eagle.
Obviously the movie was plagued by reshoots and rescheduling problems. So they've come out this week to say that it was intended to be a smaller movie, a fall release, or an early in the year release, like an October to a February kind of thing.
Okay.
Kind of during a slow period where we're not expecting to get blockbuster numbers. So it was moved from October because they had to reshoot the ending because they felt that the final battle sequence was too much like another Marvel Cinematic Universe film that was coming out in February. Captain Marvel?
Oh, yeah, because it was supposed to be in space originally, right?
Yeah, and it was supposed to be Jean Grey all glowy and sparkly in outer space after having defeated a whole bunch of alien ships that were in the atmosphere. So they took out and changed it, and they made it more of a insular thing where they're fighting on a train, and it's World War Zombie all over again, or World War Z, with alien, they're not zombies, but they're like alien jerks kind of flying out of nowhere like zombies.
Okay.
I think I would like this film better if it was more like Captain Marvel. I might have understood parts of it.
If Marvel was in space, that'd be cool.
Okay. I think can we back this up to the acting? What is Sophia Turner doing? She's not phoning it in. She's trying hard.
Sophie Turner was good in this movie, I thought.
I can't stand it. Absolutely done with her. I'm done. I didn't like her in Game of Thrones. I don't like her here. I didn't like this time-lapse movie that Mr. Prin refuses to watch after he told me to watch it.
Oh, Time Freak? I said I was gonna watch it, but you know me. Sometimes I just don't watch it. Well, I didn't sit you down and make you watch.
Yes, you did. You told me it existed, and I hadn't seen it, so I had to watch it.
That's how it works, Daniel. You just bring up a movie, and if he hasn't seen it, he has to watch it.
I got through 10 minutes. I couldn't do it, not because of her, just because of the concept.
No, for her, she is so bad in the film. Terrible.
I thought the acting was pretty good in this.
Like, really? Jennifer Lawrence? I agree with Kevin. She's phoning it in. She doesn't even look interested.
Okay, well, acting overall, there are some exceptions.
I love Nicholas Holt. I will give Nicholas Holt full credit. I still love his acting.
And Cowboy did good, too, I think. Though I thought, like, the whole, like, thing of, like, oh, they're just, like, bitter X-Men about it. I thought that was, just, I don't know, kind of annoying. I think there's only one thing I liked about this when, like, Nightcrawler was like, oh, screw this, like, pacifism shit. I'm gonna screw people up right now. And then he brings the person in front of the train. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, bye, bitch. That was pretty good. Like, I kind of like that, like, the whole, like, I kind of like the train bit at times. Everything, yeah, mostly everything was boring as hell for me.
So, I mean, you were talking about the action, acting. What else bothered you?
I had so many scripts, and nothing happens. They just talk. It's like reading a bad X-Men
comic. So what do you think
comic.
Of McAvoy?
I like McAvoy a lot. Always do.
How about Fassbender?
He didn't look interested either.
He seemed to be phoning it in, but he's still a Fassbender. He's still okay.
He's always
yeah,
okay.
His phoning in is better than a lot of people.
Yes. I don't think anybody in this film wanted to do it. They all just look like, okay, I gotta do it. Okay, I'm here.
I don't know. Tay Sheridan was okay as Cyclops. The guy who played Nightcrawler was good.
Yeah, Cletus. Alexander Shipp, I'm not big on her as Storm. I like
Nicholas,
her, but...
Oh, I thought she's okay. I don't have a problem with her. But I just think the powers weren't very well orchestrated on screen. Just
yeah,
a bunch
like,
of lightning bolts.
Yeah, I like her. I like her as an actress, though. But yeah, your character doesn't get a lot to do, I don't think. Like, oh, no, it was, like, Jean who killed, like, yeah, Raven.
I think
like, a year that, like, just Mystique dies in this, right?
Yes, right. She dies. Nobody, I didn't care.
No, I just mean, like, I think everyone's known for, like, a year that she dies in this.
Oh, I had
no idea.
It
was pretty obvious.
Was I supposed to know that?
Even in the, well, I mean, you don't watch the trailer, but I heard, like, online, and even in the trailer, like, oh, she was your friend. It's like, okay, it's got to be Mystique then, because they say she.
Wait, they show that in the trailer?
Well, they
in
show
the trailer,
her flying.
Yeah,
the
they
trailer.
Show the face-off.
Yeah.
Where they're all there in their X-Men uniforms, and they're confronting her on the street. And then there's a comment where it says, she was your friend, and you did that to her.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, okay. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, it's got to be Mystique. I mean,
there might even have been the Fassbender, whose blood is that on your shirt?
Wow.
Yeah. Because Jean goes there, like, intending to tell him that it was Mystique, so he kills her, right? But then she just gets really mad when the military shows up.
Well, I don't know if she was going to tell him that she killed Mystique.
Okay, I was wondering if that was, like, her intention, so he kills her so she doesn't hurt anyone else.
Who knows? It's kind of like a retread of The Last Stand, where what does Jean Grey do? She goes to find Magneto in the woods.
Yes.
For no particular reason.
No reason at all. Let's go find why. Because she wants to hide out there. He even says, I can't hide you. He says that to her. And then these guys show up to get her.
And then the military just finds him within 5 minutes.
Yeah. 5 minutes later, the military shows him like, okay, and she's like, no, you must go. I can't hold you any longer. I'm like,
and then a whole, like, 10 minutes later, Beast shows up.
Yes.
See, I didn't really like that, like, Beast, like, switching the sides. I was like, eh, I get it, but I don't know. I mean, I like the character, but I just didn't really like that whole thing. I don't know.
I felt bad for Nicholas Hoult, because I think he was the guy there holding this movie together.
I absolutely agree.
And he's been holding it together pretty much since First Class.
Yes.
Along with McAvoy. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. Were there any other? There weren't really any new X-Men introduced in this movie.
Wait, except for, well, she's not an X-Men, except for Jessica Chastain, who was just, the character's boring. She didn't have a lot to do.
She's just useless. She's a bad villain.
She's there for a paycheck.
Right. Yeah. And then, yeah, I just can't, like, this movie, they go into space, and she fights the evil alien, and they're sucking power from each other, and then she says, oh, your emotions are your downfall, and she goes, no, my emotions are what's gonna make me beat you, or whatever she says.
Yeah.
And then she sucks the power out of her.
Yeah.
Sucks the power out of her, and she freaking explodes, and that's the end of the movie.
Into a phoenix.
Yeah, like, oh boy, she's dead. Okay, well, that really is kind of anticlimactic. Like, when did the phoenix ever just blow up in the comics?
Never.
She's, like, at the moment of her power, where she's assumed her ascendancy over a villain, over an enemy, she just blows up, and that's the end of the movie, and everybody's sad. What, like, to be honest, what did Jean Grey do to have to warrant having the school renamed after her? At the end. Like, and Xavier's enjoying being a celebrity. He's head of the X-Men, then the president is no longer returning his calls because one of his students rebelled and did something bad. Like, don't want anything to do with this guy.
Nope, can't take his calls anymore.
Yeah, we're disconnecting this line because as the leading mutant authority who runs the school on mutants that has saved the world a few times, we don't want to listen to you anymore.
No, we're done.
And he spends the movie apologizing for saving Jean Grey from this trauma from her childhood, not for putting blocks around her powers. If they had done that, that would have made more sense. No one ever says she's inhabited by an evil enemy, like even alien cosmic force. No one ever says that. So instead, it's Xavier's fault that she's gone bad.
Yes.
And everybody blames him, and he has to retire, and he has to go to France, find Bruce Wayne, and play chess with
I was like, wait. Batman?
Wait. Maybe he finds Bruce Wayne and Catwoman in the French Riviera.
I was thinking that.
They all play chess together. But, like, it just made no sense. Like, and no one ever stood up for him.
No, nobody. Not a soul.
Yeah. And, Hank was just like, oh, no. You fucked up. And, I don't know, just, like, the whole thing that, like, the fact that this train thing was the finale, like, in any other movie, that's, like, the midway point.
And, this long enclosed space and...
Yeah.
It was very disappointing. And it made me want to rewatch Apocalypse. Because everyone says, Apocalypse is, like, the worst movie. It is so terrible. And I kind of felt that way at the time. I thought Apocalypse was terrible, and I saw it once, and I didn't want to revisit it. So I watched it again last night. And I enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
Yeah,
I liked that film at the time. You guys all made fun of me. I like X-Men Apocalypse.
I mean, I hate Apocalypse, but...
Well, he looks terrible.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think, when I saw it, I didn't think it was, like, that bad. So I wouldn't have made fun of you. Go ahead.
And I just enjoyed the mutant-on-mutant fighting in that movie. That was entertaining.
Yes.
That was what I go to X-Men movies for.
Correct.
Fair.
People with different powers fighting each other and overcoming one another and saving the world. But, I didn't like the disaster porn stuff at the end where Magneto sucking the... whatever out of the
okay. Don't say porn in that instance.
Saster porn and sucking.
Okay. Are we done? Can we move on now?
One more thing.
Of course.
One thing I thought was like really okay. One thing I was really thought was like really cringy in Dark Phoenix though. Like the walking, like when she makes Xavier walk.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was a little.
Oh god, that was terrible. Painful,
like walking in. Go up the stairs. I was like,
Gene, don't do this to me.
Yeah, like that was like, ooh, like put it back in the shit.
She's psychically, like she's telekinetically lifting him and making him walk. So what's he upset about?
I guess maybe it's just painful or like it's humiliating. I don't know.
Humiliating, I can understand, but.
His little legs look like his legs look like puppets. Like it's just
looks sad.
Yeah.
Xavier, for being the world's most powerful telepath, can't really do much more than talk to one person at a time and focus on. But Nightcrawler, help me. Okay, Scott, help me. Oh, okay, all right.
Like I can't, man.
I'm kind of busy.
He put so much of his attention into like trying to stop the girl with the knife from. Nightcrawler.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, this is a guy that in one of the other movies literally stops an entire room of people with his mind.
Yeah, but I think it's just like, oh, what is this? How powerful can he be in the regards to the story? At that time, it's convenient. I don't know.
Anyway, so it's done. I was really hoping that the very end of this movie would have ended with Jean Grey. Instead of just exploding, she completely annihilates the reality. and then it ends up with her, like, there was a what-if issue that was great like that. She completely destroys the entire Earth. Everybody dies, and it's just white space, and Phoenix is there, and maybe two other characters who somehow, the Silver Surfer and Doctor Strange. And that's it. And you just have Phoenix on the thing. She's like, oh, my God, I destroyed reality. well, I have to find a way to rebuild reality. And then the next thing you know, you could have ended the film with Charles Xavier waking up in a hotel room. It could have been in France if you really wanted to have him in France. And he flips on the TV, and it's the Avengers have saved whatever, and he's now in the Marvel Universe.
That would be cool.
I thought that would have been, and then that way you could have had McAvoy be your Professor X, and you could have Fassbender be your Magneto, but they're now in the Marvel Universe, and, you know, you could just have rebuilt your X-Men there with different people.
And now they're playing chess.
But would they have done that? Because it's a Fox film still, right? It's not a Disney film.
But Disney owns Fox, so it's all, like, even though it's Fox, it's Disney.
I know, but this film was made before the merger, wasn't it?
It was mostly produced, but Marvel was able to have a say on the finale because the deal was going through.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot of work.
And then they also delayed it. So I did find out that they delayed it from February to June because James Cameron was worried that releasing an X-Men movie around the same time as Battle Angel Alita might hurt his film at the box office. So he didn't want any competition, so he asked them to push it to the summer.
Well, James, let me help you. Your film was way better than X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have had no problems.
But instead of all that cool Avengers stuff, all we get is a little, you see that they're playing chess, and then there's a little twinkle of a phoenix in the sky.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then she's going to come back down to Earth and say, shit, why'd you name a school after me? Put Professor X's name back on it, and we're going back to Westchester.
Should have been like Jean Grey and Raven school. I mean, I don't know.
That would have made more sense if it was the Raven Darkhold Institute.
Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been there since what, she was a kid when she went into this house or whatever?
She was literally the first X-Men.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Then Jean Grey does it because she just turns into a little astro thing in the sky.
Yeah, what did Jean Grey do to deserve that?
Yeah, I mean, Raven died for a friend trying to help her. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, she saved the world many times, and she was considered a mutant hero. Her presence changed the world.
Yeah.
Right?
And then Jean Grey just threatened everyone.
And of course, all that stuff with Mystique I find funny because the Mystique of the first two films, or the first three films, or whatever, like just the first two, is a villain. She's just self-interested. She plays up to Magneto. She's not the same character.
Yeah, true.
Because Jennifer Lawrence had to be the hero.
Yeah, but I think that was just all, like, her going over to Magneto and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But in the comics, Mystique is a villain.
Oh, is she? Okay.
Yeah. Not a heroic character. All right, so avoid it like the plague.
Finally. You guys are done? You sure?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, avoid it. I agree.
I told you we were going to talk about this.
You did. I'm fully.
How long did we talk about it?
I don't know, because I forgot to do what time we started since we were behind. So you guys are just going to go tonight until we're done, and I'll figure it out later.
Probably all right, what's the next movie on our
whatever
list?
Whatever you want it to be.
Booksmart?
Sure. Which Kevin did not watch.
What?
I think that, before we even tell who's in it, then I'll start.
Yeah. Starring Beanie Feldstein, Caitlin Dever, Jessica Williams, Jason Sudeikis, Lindsay Kudrow, and Will Forte for a minute, Skylar Gisondo, Diana Silvers, Molly Gordon, and Billy Lord. Eduardo Franco. But, I'm done.
I gotta say, this is like my favorite movie of the summer right now. Absolutely love this film. I think the writing was new. I like the chemistry between the two characters. I do have one big minor issue, but we'll get into that as the film goes on. I think this is the film to see this summer.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, I watched it on Sunday, and then I watched it again yesterday.
So you liked it as much as I did?
Yeah, I loved it. It's really good.
I think the film is just amazing. The chemistry is perfect.
All the acting is really good. And Like, there's so many laugh out loud moments too. It's just great.
I think this film's gonna be rewatched for years. I just, the scenes all work for me.
Yeah, me too.
I love the scene with the, when they go to different parties. I like those interactions. I like meeting their friends. I like they discover they're idiots and they should have partied. But my favorite scene is still the drug scene. When there's the dolls and you see them in the cartoon, they transfer to the cartoon format. You're like, what?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and then they show me why I wanted to see them, what people really see, and they're trying to move. I was crying.
Fuck you, George.
That scene was so good. Or the scene when they throw, I think it's Billy Lord, they throw over the boat.
Yeah, no, she jumps over the boat. Yeah. Gigi? Yeah.
Gigi? I thought that was good.
Which is like, I am a starfish. Like, near the end. That was great.
I thought that works. I like the murder mystery. Don't talk to people unless you're allowed to. You can't be in character. I'm staying in character.
Like, you know, it's like, oh, you're at a 10? I need you at a 2.
Yes. I thought that worked.
Karaoke scene.
Oh, my God. Everything. The karaoke scene was great.
Even the pool scene. Like, just the music is amazing in this movie.
And I just love it. I mean, I can't wait to rewatch it. I really like also the, okay, let's discuss my one big problem with it. Olivia Wilde should not have directed this film.
Why?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why. She's got a lot of first-time director problems. You can see them. You know the scene when we're at the airport and that shot, it should have been a wider angle shot or maybe a little bit taller. I found she shot a lot of people halfway. When it should have been a more fuller image.
Isn't that partly the cinematographer's call as well?
I'm wondering. I don't know, but I think she probably relied maybe too much on him. Like, I found a lot of the shots I felt were too tight. And it should have been opened up a bit more.
I thought the shots there were great.
I hated the airport end shots a lot.
Like, but I think her as a director, like, I think she showed, like, see, I don't think you need a lot of style for a movie like this that's like a, like the way the story goes, and I think her masterwork for directing was just the fact that she got great performances out of everyone, and they all like felt like high schoolers, and like the chemistry between the two leads too, especially the pool scene. I thought she shot that really good.
Yeah, I don't think this film gets made without Olivia Wilde. I will say that I think she's the reason why the film got made.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Jason Sudeikis doesn't show up in this film without her, because they're married.
I don't pay attention to poor personal lives. I forgot that.
Okay, but I'm just things like that. I thought the car scenes were well shot. I thought the repartee between the characters was always right on. I never felt it ran too long or ran too short. It explained it to me and moved on.
Yeah.
And I do think she took a lot from Clueless.
Yeah, I can't remember Clueless that well, though.
You'll see it. It's there. It's not nothing great.
I've seen it, but I can't remember.
I did think the sex scene was well shot. I quite liked the next day when it comes up again. I thought that was perfect.
Yeah, I thought the style choice of, like, muting one of the big arguments was, like, near the end was pretty good.
Yes, I agree.
I'd like to know what they said, but I thought it was effective.
I thought everything in the film worked.
I was trying to read their lips, but we couldn't.
I don't think we were meant to. I mean, I really would like a sequel to this.
Yeah.
I don't know where it would go, though.
With the muting, I think it's just that they're on autopilot in the argument, and they don't really know what they're saying. They're just heat of the moment. Same thing. That's why she did that.
Maybe. I mean, I think this is a prime candidate for my top 10 list. I don't think it'll be on there 100%.
Writing's fantastic, too.
I mean, I don't think it's going to get any awards of any style. I don't think it's that kind of film, but I think it's a must-watch.
Did 8th grade get an Oscar nomination for writing last year?
Yes.
I think that's the only thing I might get one in, for at least for the Oscars. But I thought everything about this was great. Like, there's so many funny moments, like the bit with the pizza driver and what they do with that later.
Oh, my God. So where'd you get the pizza?
That was hilarious.
Oh, my God. You guys are doing it all wrong. And they
could just take you over, like, state line and put you in a basement. Oh, my God.
The Jason Sudeikis car scene beats that for me.
Oh, yeah.
When they're watching the porn in the car and they have it on the headphones.
When he says, is that Cardi B?
Yes.
Funny.
Oh, my God. Kevin, they have a scene. They're watching porn, right? To figure out what to do if they haven't had sex yet.
Yeah, because they're watching lesbian porn.
They're watching lesbian porn.
Caitlin Dever's character is gay, so she doesn't really know, like, the technique yet, so they're watching that.
Okay.
And Jason Segel's, hold on, I can put this on airplay. And he hears them, and he's like, what is this, Cardi B? Oh, my God, I died.
Yeah. And they're just, like awkward, like, their faces while they're awkwardly in the back is amazing, too. And, like, I love their characters. I love, like, pretty much every scene with Gigi.
And who got blocked from Uber? BB got blocked from Uber, right? She
Molly. Wasn't allowed. Yeah, Beanie.
Molly, she wasn't allowed to use Uber, and it comes up constantly.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes was when Triple A near the end, when she picks Molly up, and she's like, wait, where the fuck do you live? That's one of my favorite.
There's Kevin, you need to see this film.
Yeah. And this is one
sounds like it.
This is one of the few times I actually really liked Skylar Gisondo. Jared, he was funny.
Oh, he was great!
I usually don't like him because I've seen, like, Vacation. I mean, I like him on that one Netflix show with Josh Kumal and Drew Barrymore, that zombie one.
I don't
know. Santa Clarita.
I don't watch it. I have no idea, but I like know him. What it is.
I don't like Vacation at all, so I think that's what made me, like, not really like him a little bit, but he's great in this.
He is very good.
So. Yeah, I don't know if I have a bad thing to say. I mean, it's a little simplistic, but I mean, it's just coming of age, and I think it's perfect, like the way this, how it tells its story, and just like how every character pretty much has like a good moment, like when Theo wanted to like seduce Miss Fine. I thought that was great too.
Oh my God, that was you're fine, Miss Fine. Hey, you're 20, right? 20?
Yeah. I wanted, can I see you again? And then Triple A is like, did you fuck Miss Fine? That was great.
So good. Kevin will love this movie. I know he will.
Yeah.
I remember there was another guy that used to be on the show that was asking us to review this movie because he liked it a lot.
Yeah, he's busy tonight.
Yeah, he's busy.
He couldn't make it. That's his problem. Okay, move on.
He's back to school.
He's having a fine evening.
Yes, a very fine evening.
Do you want to say theaters, or do you want to do something that Kevin's seen?
Go wherever you guys want. Just pick it. Move.
Okay. All right, you guys can talk about Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
I don't know who's starting this. 1 second.
Batman
and the Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles from Shredder.
I meant voices, Kevin. Troy Baker, Eric Baza, Darren Criss, Kyle Mooney, John DiMaggio, Ryan George, Tom Kenny. I don't know if Rachel Bloom, I don't know if anyone else really stands out, but
Simon, what'd you think?
It reminded me so much of 1980s Super Friend cartoons. And I loved it for that reason alone.
No, it was so much better.
It was pretty much a Super Friends cartoon. I liked it, but it wasn't great.
You know what? It was exactly what I would want from a Batman meets the Teenage
Yes, if you can make cartoon. It, you got it. Yes, I agree, but it wasn't great, but it was fun.
It was like... The Turtles were the Turtles. Batman was Batman. The Turtles showed Batman the importance of family and eating pizza.
Yes.
And the mutagen, whatever, changes the Arkham villains into weird creatures, and they have to stop them. And Joker's a snake creature, and Harley's a hyena, and all that stuff.
What? Wow. That's fun.
Best scene, I still argue, I love the scene in the cartoon when Alfred opens the door, pizza, really? Mm-hmm. And he has to bring all the pizzas to the Turtles.
Yeah.
It's just simple. Batman thinks the Turtles are the villains. Turtle thinks Batman's the villain. No, they know who Batman is.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just like that. I don't know. I thought the end was a little surprising, but it's just.
They think that Batman is in league with Shredder.
Yes.
At first. One thing I really enjoyed about this movie was the fighting.
The fighting was excellent.
They actually gave each turtle a fighting style that was unique. And Batman counters each one, and they all have different martial arts fights during the course of the movie. And I thought that was actually very inspired. You know, Batman Turtles is going to be basically. You know what the story is going to be, how they're going to react to each other. It's still fun to watch, but it's fun to watch that fighting because they actually put the thought into how would Batman fight Raphael? How would Batman fight Leonardo? How would Batman fight Michelangelo? How would how would he deal with Barbara Gordon? And they become friends. They're like computer friends. And I can't remember who it is that has the staff, but the staff guy, he and Damien become buddies. It inspires Damien to get a staff like him. It was a lot of fun.
It was. It was enjoyable. I think you liked it a little bit more than I did because I got a little stale with the dialogue. But the end was kind of strange. I liked the end a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy snake joker and the crazy
car. Yeah, that was bizarre.
I was like, okay, that works.
Two-Face grows two heads and...
Yeah.
Sounds wild.
It is a little nuts at the end.
Yeah. I'll probably have to watch this.
But yeah, and if you get a chance, it's a fun watch.
Okay.
It is.
If I would show this movie to any 10-year-old, I would know.
They would love it. They would absolutely love it. And show the 15-year-old Booksmart.
My mind's like a 10-year-old, so that sounds good.
But I think the next one is Batman Hush, right?
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, I think that looks pretty good. That'll be a good one when they finally do it. All right, what's next?
Because Salmon will talk about The Hustle. Did you watch this, Kevin?
No.
He's lucky him.
You already know, though, that it's like an if. Starring Rebel Wilson, Anne Hathaway. Okay, the IMDb page for this cast is weirdly. Dean Norris, Alex Sharp. I don't really want to look through the rest. That's pretty much everyone.
Yeah, it's good enough. Who cares?
Okay. You want to start on this one?
This was like almost like a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, pretty much is.
Yeah,
and I watched Dirty Rotten Scoundrels right before I see it, so I remember it. I barely remember Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Fine, I've already watched it. This is like a beat-for-beat remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels done really badly.
Like, but they're women, Simon.
I don't care. They're not funny women. Like, Michael Caine has a sense of style. Steve Martin is a genius.
Yeah.
I mean, you're replacing Steve Martin with Rebel Wilson, who's never made me laugh in my life other than being Fat Amy. And guess what? She's Fat Amy in this movie, too. And Anne Hathaway, I don't know what she's doing. I'm still confused.
This time she's Fat Penny.
Yeah, Fat Penny. I mean, that whole montage that she's, because she's fat, she's funny?
Yeah.
Didn't you know that? Fat people are funny.
Maybe if they're Chris Farley, but I didn't find her funny at all. And she had this whole montage scene when she's trying to learn to be.
She can throw a knife, but she's also fat.
And then they try to do the take and Steve Martin plays that weird character, his brother, to get rid of people. They try to do that. They keep redoing scenes with two great comic geniuses with people who are probably not as good as comedy as those two. Exactly the same too, Kevin. Have you seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? Same ending.
I didn't watch that one. I should have, but I didn't have time. I want to still, but...
Well, I was getting annoyed with this film. I'm like, I've seen this film. It was called Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Do something different. It didn't do anything different. Not one thing was different.
I think maybe they thought, oh, because it's women and Ghostbusters was a thing and it's the Jerry Rodgers calendar is from what, like 88? Like, oh, maybe some people haven't seen it. We'll just do it all again. Maybe that's what they were thinking. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Anne Hathaway wasn't really, I don't think I laughed once.
There were no laughs. If there were, I didn't find one. It was absolutely terrible.
Okay, I think my sense of humor is stupid, but I think I laughed when they were doing that, like, gross sister thing with Rebel Wilson. I think I laughed when, she shoots the peasant, and then she's like, oh, that wasn't expected. But that was in the trailer. I don't know.
Oh, what? See, I don't watch trailers. Yeah,
I know you don't. But, I mean, I like Anne Hathaway, but, just, like, this is exhausting. Like, the fact that they have to stay in these characters, like Rebel Wilson being blind for more than half the movie, and Anne Hathaway doing that bad Russian accent. I don't know. Or German. Yeah.
I think it was German. I think you're right.
Yeah. And then the whole twist. Should we just spoil the twist? Because pretty much
same twist as the other movie.
Yeah, so basically they have this, like, Penny and Josephine, they're, like, competing con artists. They have this bet who can get the most money out of this app programmer. What's his name?
Who cares?
I don't even know. Can't find his thing. Thomas Westerberg. And Thomas ends up being this famed con artist, Medusa's grandson, or his nana or whatever. And he's like the new Medusa. So he takes off with like $1 million.
But that's the story from the first one.
I couldn't tell, though, if they were going to go after him and get the money back, but instead he goes back to them with a new con, and they just team up. I would have liked this movie better if it would have been maybe 10 more minutes of them chasing him, or like 20 more minutes of them chasing him.
No, the first movie is exactly beat for beat in the first one. Like, the plane clean happened in there, happened in the first one.
Oh, God.
Like, and it's just like, I've seen this film. Rewatching The Hustle, like, I've already seen this film. Like an hour ago, guys, or whatever I watched, a couple hours later.
They spent way too much time on the blind person, and then that was just like the blind. That character was bad. So, and they have to go on that persona for like half the movie. Oh, I thought it was a little funny when she shut the door. Like, that was just kind of a dick move when she like ran into the door.
Yeah. That was a dick move.
Yeah, but I have a bad sense of humor. She's fat. She ran to a door.
Well, the first one is whoever has sex with the woman first. So the male character in the first one is two males and a female. And this one, there's two females and the male. So it's pretty much, like I said, the same film.
Yeah, gender swapped. Yeah, okay.
And I was like, eh.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just a very bad movie. I was exhausted with it. Just, yeah. Like all the different, like, personas they had to con them were just bad.
Yeah, I'm good with it. Terrible.
And, I mean, I think Alex Sharp, like, I couldn't tell if he was bad at acting or if he was just bad. Like, he knew he was an actor knowing that he was conning them but not trying to let them onto that he was conning them. But just at the time, the acting was just like, oh, I'm so innocent. It was just really bad.
I think he was a bad actor.
Yeah. I mean, he got, like, a little almost amusing when he came back as, like, the different character at the end, but... Not really.
Watch the original. It's the same movie. You know, you already know the ending. Like, and trust me, Glenn Headley plays his character, and it's so much better.
Yeah, no, I definitely, it's been only watched this for a while, so I think I'm going to watch it soon.
Okay, good.
Oh, and then they recycle the same gag with Rebel Wilson at the beginning, like how she, like, hid away from the cops with the trash bag thing. And then at the end, hey, they're both in trash bag suits hiding with Christmas presents.
Oh, yeah. That was just so not all funny. Right.
Yeah, move on. Okay. Avoid it, people. Let's see. We've got to pull up the cast thing. Okay, we'll do Brightburn. How much time do we have left?
I don't know. I told you. I didn't write it down today.
Oh, okay.
So go nuts, you guys. I'll figure it out later.
It doesn't display it on the thing.
It tells me numbers.
Because I feel like we were talking for a while before. Yeah, we're probably at like 50 minutes or so. Anyway. So, Brightburn, starring...
Yeah, I think...
Oh, sorry.
Let's just do this one and then wrap up.
No, I want to do the last one. Go ahead.
So this is going to be last one? All right, sounds good.
One more after this.
One more after this? Do you just want to do Rim of the World?
That's correct.
One sec. All right, sounds good. Brightburn.
Elizabeth Banks.
Motherfucker. Elizabeth Banks, David Denman, Chasten A. Dunn, Matt Jones from Breaking Bad.
I love Badger.
Yeah, Badger, yeah. Honestly, don't really know. I mean, Emmy Hunter plays the girl that he's really obsessed with. And yeah, that's about it. Oh, Steve Agee, your double, is in this too.
Yes, like my double is in here.
Do you want to kick this one off?
I can start. I think I like this film way more than most people. I really, really enjoyed this film.
Yeah, me too.
I know a lot of people, I've read bad reviews, like, it's what I wanted. It was a low-budget horror film. I wish it had a bit more cash behind it. I think they could have done a little bit more with the kills and a little bit more with locations. But I think it works perfectly for what it is. It's a pretty much a one-location film, most of it.
Yeah, well, like house, school.
Yeah, I mean, but those are, like, it has to move a bit. But I like the concept that the kid just wakes up and goes, screw you guys, I'm pissed off. These superpowers have just magically showed up, and I'm going to kill everybody that annoys me.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was, like, good, like, because it seems like a spec script, and, like, that got made because, like, James Gunn's brothers wrote it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I like Chronicle a lot more than this. But I still really enjoyed this.
See, I hated Chronicle.
Oh, I love Chronicle. I think it's my favorite found footage movie.
I don't know. I would love to hear Kevin's opinion if he had seen this. I enjoy the kills. I like where the film was going. I like the end of the film. I'd like to see a sequel to the film.
Wait, when you say that you thought they could have done more with the kills, I thought they were brutal.
They were.
Like, I was not expecting how, like, brutal they were going to be, like, with the jaw.
Oh, that was my favorite one. Badger's death was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think I like the one when the dad takes him out hunting and you think he's going to try and he can't shoot the kid.
I knew what was going to happen, though. And, yeah, and that was brutal. Okay, I don't know what it is, but anything to do with, like, fingernails or eyes in horror movies creep me out. And, like, the waitress pulling a piece of glass out of her eye. Holy crap. The practical way they did that was like, wow. That was gnarly for me.
I'm just squirming as I'm listening to you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the trailer, Kevin. I know you haven't, Simon.
I know enough about the film, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of complaints about it, too.
That's what I said. I really liked it. I mean, I don't like everything, but I liked something that's different, and this I thought was different.
The major complaint is that it's basically super. What if Superman was evil?
Correct.
But it's a horror movie, and it's not played like a it was advertised as a superhero film with a dark turn.
I thought it was really advertised as like a horror superhero movie, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, a dark hero movie. But yeah,
I don't know what people were expecting then. I mean, like, some of the pacing isn't, like, amazing.
Well, I was going to say, but you kind of talked over me.
Oh.
But go ahead.
No, that was not it. I do that.
That was my intern moment there. Fine. Go ahead. Fine.
You go, Daniel. I guess I'm going to fucking put a piece of tape over my mouth and don't talk. No, you keep going.
I haven't seen the film, but is it that he's disposed to be, he was planted to cause devastation?
Correct.
Right? Isn't that the Jor-El analog? They want him to destroy, and he might not be the only one.
Correct.
Right. That's part of an invasion thing. So someone said to me, like, actually, they thought that it would have been interesting if to do a Superman Brightburn crossover.
Yes.
Like, what if Superman met the kid from Brightburn? Because the kid from Brightburn wasn't necessarily evil. He was just a selfish kid.
I don't think he's evil. I just think he's just one pissed off little kid having a tantrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everyone at school thinks he's weird, and then I think it kind of goes weird when basically the girl that he likes, he goes to her room in the middle of the night because the dad says he should ask her out, and he thinks, and she thinks he's like a pedophile, and I think that's what like, really sets him off. And he's like, oh, I actually have these powers I just found the other day, and now I'm going to fuck shit up because I can't get laid. I mean, like, I think, the, like, not as evil as, like, Dane DeHaan's character in, like, Chronicle. But just, I mean, similar arc, I guess. But, like, he actually had parents, but, like, the mom was always supportive, like, oh, no, it can't be him. But the dad was like, oh, shoot, no, I think you killed my uncle. Like, I just don't think he ever, like, loved the kid as much as she did when they found him.
I don't think she does either, but I think that's pretty much stated in the film early on.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have missed at the very beginning, because, like, I had to walk out to close the door, because yeah, my theater was still open. But they were smashing, and then something smashed into the forest. Yeah, and so I missed like the first 3 minutes, and that pisses me off when I miss anything in the movie.
I had to go to the bathroom. Okay, no, well. There you go. Two people that like Brightburn, one guy that needs to see it. Okay, let's do this last film before we wrap up.
Okay. Netflix film, Rim of the World. Oh, gosh. What's the cast?
This is the kids, right? It's like the end of the world or something?
Yeah. I mean, Kevin, if you haven't seen it, we could do it next time.
I could watch it for the next one, sure.
Okay, do you guys just want to do that and call it then?
Okay, let's call it. Okay. What did I buy? Right. We're doing that now?
What did you buy?
All right, I bought Hunter of Steve McQueen, which I've watched, which was terrible. Nice. I got UB751. I bought Steve McQueen documentary, The Man in Le Mans. Kaleidoscope.
Yeah, getting Le Mans.
Yes. Singing Kid with Al Jolson, The Player, Fly of the Phoenix, The Jolson Story, Fat Spy and Captain Scarlet. L.A. Story with Steve Martin, Home of the Brave. Okay, we're done.
Oh, and I got Batman Turtles, Captain Marvel, Lego Movie 2. On digital, I got Sin City and Sin City, A Dave to Kill For. I got Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End. Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and Skyfall. And X-Men Apocalypse.
Cool.
And I did got a chance to catch up on some movies that you had reviewed that I had not seen, like Bad Night at the El Royale.
And?
And I loved
it. Okay, go quick.
You agree? You disagree?
I hated it. But I gave it a 4. Go on.
I liked it a lot, actually. I thought it was very good. And then I saw The Front Runner.
And which we have not reviewed it. And I've seen it.
I thought we did.
You told me.
Yeah, I talked it with you.
Oh, maybe we did do The Front Runner then. Okay. I thought The Front Runner was dull.
It was very dull, but it was still interesting.
Well acted. Yeah.
It was well acted.
To see how the politics have been changing towards how things are now, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's okay.
Privacy, yeah. I mean, a solid 6 for me.
Mm-hmm. I think I gave it a 4.
I mean, that's not bad for you, though.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks. Not bad for me.
You hate everything.
So. By your standards, like, a 4 is like, all right, they kind of did good.
I endured it.
Yes, I endured it.
I overcame. I finished it. I don't want to watch it again.
Okay, we're out of here. And if they make it?
We will watch it.
Okay, goodbye. I'm Simon, and good night.
Kevin.
Daniel.
To contact us, please email at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.